All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 18. I want to talk about the trials of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next Sunday, we're going to look at the resurrection of Christ. Good Friday, of course, is when we remember the crucifixion of our Savior. And normally, we will look at a passage that talks about the crucifixion. But there was so much that came in the week previous, or during the week, the Passion Week, when our Lord was nailed to a cross. The Jewish leaders, of course, had already desired to kill Jesus long before he was actually arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the Jewish council didn't have the authority to execute prisoners without the cooperation and the approval of Rome. So they needed to visit Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor. There were basically three stages in both the Jewish and Roman trials. Remember, there were both. The arguments, even in the news today, about if you believe that the Jews were the ones that nailed Jesus, or not nailed him to the cross, but were the cause of his crucifixion, you're called an anti-Semite. But yeah, when you get right down to it, we're all guilty. We all nailed Jesus to the cross, didn't we? Because we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. After Christ's arrest, of course, Judas had betrayed him. He planted a kiss on the Lord Jesus, showing whom was the one to be arrested. And immediately they were taken to the nearest place, the house of Annas. Annas was an elderly high priest, but he was not in office at the time. Caiaphas, the son-in-law of Annas, was the actual high priest during this time. We read about the dealings with Annas and his questioning of Jesus in chapter 18, John 18, 12 through 14, and also verses 19 through 23. Annas wanted to get some information that would prove that Jesus was guilty of the charges that had been levied against him. We'll mention those in just a bit. He wanted to prove that the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as his disciples, was anti-Rome. Annas was not a good man, for he desired that Jesus would be found worthy of death. But Annas then sent, and this was very, very early, it was yet dark, very early. Some say Thursday, some say Friday, but it was very early, probably long before light, which was illegal. Remember, these trials were illegal. But back then, of course, many people had Christ derangement syndrome. You hear a lot about Trump derangement, right? And you know that Christ derangement syndrome is still very active today. You ever mention Jesus' name and somebody shuts you down immediately? I don't want to talk about that. So Jesus went before Caiaphas, and we are going to read the scripture. I've got... What I'm basically trying to do today, it's a new thing. I'm going to try to do four messages in one. Think I can do it? So yeah, if you stick to the text. All right, I will. Jesus went before Caiaphas, and whatever members of the Sanhedrin, 70 members, however many they could get a hold of last minute and get them gathered together there at Caiaphas. Because again, it was very late at night. Jesus confessed, clearly that he was the Christ. The council found him guilty of blasphemy and, according to their law, worthy of death. But it wasn't legal to try capital cases at night, so they had to give the verdict in the pre-dawn morning. So stage three took place as early as possible the next morning, where Jesus was condemned to die. But then we get to the Roman side of things. This was the Jewish side. And we get to the Roman side of things. He went before Pilate here in chapter 18, and you can write down verses 28 through 38, and we will read some of these here in just a bit. Then secondly, he appeared before Herod. Herod was in town for the Passover, and so he went before Herod. Herod really wanted to meet him, and so he stood before Herod, but Herod couldn't find anything really wrong either. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him," and Herod, same thing, so Herod sent him back. The reason Pilate sent him to Herod is because, after all, this was a Jewish matter, so who better to hear it than Herod? Well, Herod said, "Well, I don't want to have anything to do with this," so he sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate again, more than once, about three times it's recorded in the Word of God, "I don't find any fault in this man." Well, John, in his gospel, mainly focused on the Roman trials. Remember, when John wrote this gospel, somewhere around AD 90 to 95, somewhere in that range, most say AD 90, Jerusalem had already been destroyed in AD 70 by Titus and the Romans. And, of course, they had taken over all of Israel. And so Jerusalem, after being destroyed, the Roman power was all that really mattered in the eyes of many. The Jews hated the fact that they were under the dominion of Rome, and they desired for the coming Messiah to defeat Rome and set up his kingdom. They didn't anticipate that their Messiah would die upon a cross. Well, the Jews didn't like Pilate. Pilate was a weak man. He was wishy-washy. He was like a politician today, kind of wishy-washy. You know, we send them to Washington. They're on fire. "Man, we're going to turn Washington upside down. It's going to be better than it's ever been before. We have a coalition. We are all banded together. We are mega." And they get there, and what happens? Basically nothing. How many of you are disgusted with politics? Yeah. Disgusting. I know there are good men and women there, but the evil tend to outnumber the good. Would you agree with that? Pilate could be ruthless, but he understood the Jews' power structures and how to use them. He was the consummate politician. The way he handled Jesus' trials shows an indecisive, weak, compromising man, more concerned about his own protection, his own job, and Rome than anything else. He wanted to please both sides. Sound familiar? Pilate feared the crowd, but as the trial went on, he feared Jesus more and more. Again, at least three times, he declared Jesus not guilty, but he would not release him because he was a coward. The trial of Rome was conducted by Pilate as he centered around four key questions, and that's what we're going to race through in the time remaining. Question number one, what is the accusation? What is the accusation? Look at verse number 28, John 18. Verse number 28. Let's stand together. And let's read together out loud verses 28 through 32. If you need to grab a KJV, go ahead and do that. If you read in the English Standard Version while we're reading KJV, it's going to be really messed up. All right. John 18, beginning with verse number 28, going through verse number 32. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. All right, almost went on to 33. We could go on. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, help us to internalize it this morning. Holy Spirit of God, do your work within us. Lord, if you're not active, all these will be just words. But we thank you that you are desiring to change us from within, to continue to mold us into the image of Jesus. So please continue that work, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When the Sanhedrin voted to condemn Jesus, they took him to Pilate's palace where he stayed during the Passover season. That's where Pilate stayed during Passover. It was customary. The religious leaders wouldn't go inside because, if we go inside, we're going to be defiled and it's going to mess up the rest of the Passover celebration. You talk about evil hypocrites. They would condemn an innocent man, the Son of God, the Messiah they've been waiting for. They would condemn him to death, a cruel death, and yet they didn't want to go into, because if they went in there, they would be defiled. I'd categorize them as evil hypocrites. What about you? So Pilate asked what the charge was. Now, in between verses 28 and 29, we find what is recorded in Luke chapter 23. Write that down, if you would, next to verse number 29, chapter 18 of John, Luke 23:2, where we read these charges. Number one, Jesus was said to have led the nation astray. He led the nation astray. Number two, he opposed paying tribute to Caesar, which he never did. So number one, he led the nation astray. That wasn't true. Number two, he opposed paying tribute to Caesar. That wasn't true. But number three is true. He claimed to be the Jewish Messiah and King. Is Jesus the Jewish Messiah and King? Yes, he is. Well, Pilate didn't want to get involved in a Jewish court case, especially at Passover, so he tried to evade the issue. He said, you deal with it. This is a Jewish matter. This has nothing to do with Rome. But if the Jews only found him guilty and not the Romans, he would die by stoning. What's the Bible say? He was to hang from a what? A tree or a cross. It's called tree in the Old Testament. And also, as Scripture is quoted in the New, often is referred to as a tree. Cursed is every man that dies upon a tree, a cross. And that, of course, was the Roman method of putting someone to death. He had to die on the cross because one that died on the cross was cursed. Galatians 3:13 talks about the fact that Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Holy Spirit. And talks also about the curse upon any that die on a tree. Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. So question one, what is the accusation? Question number two, are you the King of the Jews? Look at verse number 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate came back with, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And between verses 38 and 39, we find Luke 23. I think I said verse 2. That's verse 2 is where the accusations were listed. But you can write down next to 38 or 39, Luke 23, 6 through 12. And that plugs right in there. Are you the king of the Jews? This question is recorded by each gospel. A critical question. As Roman governor, Pilate would certainly be interested in one claiming to be king. At Passover, the messianic expectations ran high. They were waiting for their Messiah. They refused to believe Jesus was this Messiah. And so they knew, since messianic expectations were high at this time, that somebody could claim to be Messiah and might be readily accepted, even though they weren't. And that's what they wanted to prove Jesus was doing. He was a pretender, and he wanted to cause an uprising against Rome. So when the Lord answered, it shocked Pilate. Matthew 27, 11, it is as thou sayest, Jesus said. And then Jesus asked a question, as we read in verse 34. Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee? Which forced Pilate to clarify matters for his own sake. If Pilate had a Roman king in mind, then Jesus would be a rebel. But if he's a Jewish king, then political matters could be set aside, because after all, it was a Jewish matter. Verse 37, as I read, art thou a king then? Art thou a king then? He went on to ask, what is truth? Now, I don't know whether he asked that question with a sneer, or did he ask that question with a sigh? But we have a lot of trouble with truth in our society today, don't we? Many believe there is no absolute truth. But truth is objective. It's not subjective. It's not touchy-feely. It is what it is. You know, society, we know it's getting pretty bad when the woke folk, you like that little rhyme there, when the woke folk say that math, arithmetic, is racist. And so therefore, since arithmetic is racist, 2 plus 2 does not necessarily equal 4. It could equal 5. If you think I'm making that up, you Google. How you can't deny truth if you're sane. Well, you have your truth, and I have my truth. Truth is relative, the lost folks say. But at least for a change, Pilate had a little bit of courage, because he announced again, I find no fault at all. Jesus was silent before his accusers for the most part. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23, as he quoted Isaiah the prophet. And it amazed Pilate that key times when Jesus could have done a lot to prove his innocence, he kept silent. I mean, if he's a king, Pilate thought, wouldn't he defend himself? Jesus was on a mission. He was sent by God the Father to die upon a cross to pay for the sins of the world. Every sin, past, present, and future, were nailed with Jesus to the cross. He bore our sins. But then the leaders shouted that Jesus had stirred up people even in Galilee. Well, that was Herod's territory, so Jesus was sent to Herod. So between John 18, 38 and 39, we read Luke 23, 6 through 12 that I mentioned. Herod, of course, would send Jesus back. Interesting thing, you know, Herod and Pilate didn't get along at all. They hated each other. But through this sending back and forth, they kind of got their differences worked out. They're going to nail an innocent king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, to a cross. But at least they got things worked out. You know, we have to ask ourselves these questions too. What is truth? What is truth? Is the Bible truth? Yes, Pastor. All the Bible is truth. Then why don't we live the things that we say we believe? If we really believe it's true. Is Jesus who he claimed to be? Is he the Son of God? Is he the only way to God? Is he the way, the truth, and the life? Question 3. Shall I release the King of the Jews? Shall I release the King of the Jews? Chapter 18. Verse 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? You know, the one that you were praising God over, the one that you celebrated just a few days ago. Should I release that Messiah, that King unto you? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Other scripture, we read that he was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer. He was an evil, evil, vile man. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. He had him beaten almost beyond recognition, thinking, well, surely that'll satisfy the Jews and I can release him. Compromise never works. Never works. It just doesn't work. It said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. He has not broken any Roman law. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. And for us, he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And this included the high priest, by the way. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. So we found that Herod found nothing worthy of death. Pilate also three times said, I find no fault in him. So he sought to punish him and release him. He sought to bargain with them. I will release Jesus according to the custom. Why release Barabbas? He was a robber, verse 40. He was a notorious prisoner, Matthew 27, 16. He was an insurrectionist and murderer, Luke 23, 19. I mean, these are great leaders, are they not? My, what wonderful men of God. They convinced the people to cry for Barabbas and really stood for justice, didn't they? We're seeing that today, where the illegal murderers and rapists and thieves are held up in honor and the innocent are ignored. It's sick. It's evil. It's unbelievable. What happened to America? You ever say, please, Lord, stop the world. I want to get off. Barabbas was the one that fought Rome. The people, though, expected something different from Jesus. What about you? Do you accept the fact that Jesus is the only way to God? They expected Jesus to come and liberate them, to solve all their problems. And sometimes folks will come to Christ, they don't understand the idea of suffering. Didn't Jesus say that in this world we'll have tribulation? Didn't Peter and others write about the fact that we will suffer as Christians? We got it made so far in America. I don't think it'll be this way forever. But right now, there's a little bit of a price to pay, not much. Maybe somebody will say something bad about you or whatever, cancel you. Think of those in nations all around the world that are suffering persecution and imprisonment and death for their stand for Christ. Please don't be fooled thinking that being a Christian means an easy life. It's the most blessed life. We have eternity to look forward to. We have a life of hope. Not hope so, but hope. Confident expectation, because we know the Bible's true. And the promises of Scripture that relate to us will come to pass. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they figured, here comes the liberation. We're going to be out from underneath the thumb of Rome. Last question. Sermon number 4, condensed into one. Chapter 19, verses 8 through 16. The question is, whence art thou? Whence art thou? Some of the cults, like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, believe that Jesus basically was sent already a being. And he became a god, small g, when he got to the earth. You listen to him talk, and you would think they truly do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't. They believe Jesus is a Son of God, just like we can become a Son of God. It's heresy. I mean, as soon as I found out that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses didn't come into being until well into the 1800s, that would kind of be a hint that maybe they probably don't have the right message, because God would have us in total darkness for 1,800 years, and then suddenly, voila! An angel visited a man that him and his father were treasure hunters, and suddenly the golden tablets appeared to kind of a not a very godly man called Joseph Smith. You don't think there's a Satan? How could anybody believe that stuff if it was not Satan that empowered him? Think about it. That's deception at its finest. The Romans and the Greeks had many myths about God's coming to earth as men. So maybe Pilate was thinking this as well. Well, you know, maybe he's a God that came to earth. Remember Pilate's wife? Said, listen up. You don't want to mess with this guy. Matthew 27:19. Said, do not have anything to do with this man, Jesus. Was Jesus a God who came to earth? Well, that's again what the witnesses and the Mormons believe. Pilate was impressed and as well startled by the words and actions of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus wouldn't answer, fulfilling Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he openeth not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Pilate made it clear that he wasn't interested in spiritual truth. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again, saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And those that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, well, my, that's why he was nailed, one of the main reasons why he was nailed to the cross, because he claimed to be the Son of God. So if he's not the Son of God, he's the biggest liar on the face of the earth. What are we doing worshiping him? But if he is the Son of God, then we by all means should worship him in spirit and in truth, just like he instructed us. We know for a fact that our Savior rose from the dead 3 days later. He was seen of about 500 witnesses in one gathering. He was seen in many appearances over 40 days, something like 8 appearances. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again in the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate wouldn't have believed him anyway. Most don't. "Oh, if I could see him, I'd believe." No. Most of the people that saw Jesus did not believe in him. Seeing is not believing. Faith is believing. Fear and anger often go together. Pilate was afraid and weak and tried to appear strong, but it's very clear, verse 11, all authority comes from God. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." He was talking about Caiaphas. Remember when Jesus asked for a human king, and that was Saul, King Saul. And as they asked for a human king, they rejected the theocracy that God was their king. They rejected God in favor of a human king. How'd that work out? When they asked for Barabbas to be released, they rejected Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the very one who could save them and the very one that can guarantee them eternal life with him. Today, the Spirit of God is rejected as he pleads with sinners to repent and come to faith in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Over and over, the Lord Jesus was declared innocent by Pilate, and he was innocent, but even though he was innocent, he willingly laid down his life for us. He died to pay our sin debt in full. He died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We're the guilty ones. We nailed him to that cross. So we cannot be neutral in our relationship with Christ. We're either going to stand with him or we're not. I think as we see history unfolding in the soon return of our Christ upon us, I think it's time for us to take a stand and mean business. Stop playing games. What do you think? Game time is over. Sadly, Pilate obeyed the crowd. Because of that, he also condemned himself, not just Jesus. He condemned himself. If you don't know Christ, today is a great day to come and say, "Pastor, you know what? I've had religion. I've been in and out of church, but I cannot truly remember a time when I actually repented of my sins. Said, Lord, I'm willing to turn. I've been going my way forever. It's not working out so great. I'm willing to turn and turn to Jesus Christ and receive him as my Savior and Lord, believing that he alone can save me. He died upon a cross. He was buried. He rose again. And I want to be born into your family, Lord. And I know I can't do it. You must do it. You must birth me into the kingdom." Let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. sometimes we gloss over these verses that talk about the trials of Jesus. All of this added to his torment. All of this demonstrates how desperately we need to be washed in the blood of Christ, cleansed of our sin. Through all of this, we see how blinded our minds can be by the power of the evil one. Lord, help us, if we're born again this morning, to take a stand like we never have before, to be unapologetic, to speak the truth in love, but nonetheless speak the truth that others may know that our Savior lives. Lord, give us a great passion week in that we would spend more time reflecting upon our relationship with you. God, may it grow stronger. May we be ready for what may be coming. We can't any longer bury our heads in the sand. We can't any longer act like nothing is really happening. Oh, I don't care about all that. What will be, will be. God, help us to take an active approach. Lord, I want to make a difference for the glory of God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.